watch it. I'm like,
bring the Board of Supervisors into session at 8:45 on the clock. Call the meeting to order and start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the wall over behind Scott. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. The consent agenda: general agenda, approved minutes of meeting held on January 16th, 2019. Approve all claims through January 30th, 2019 in the amount of $516,854.92. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specs and call for bids for 2019 rock and gravel for March 13th, 2019 through March 11th, 2020. Bids to be opened on February 27, 2019 at 9:15 a.m. Approved specs and call for bids on fuel for county. Bids to be opened on February 27, 2019 at 9:30 a.m. Approved utility permit number 1119 to Norris Public Power District. Will be boring 2-inch continuous bore 5 foot below bottom of the ditch under the township road for 66 feet. For a 7.2 kilovolt electric line encased in a 2-inch core flex pipe located in the northeast quarter section 33 and southeast quarter section 28, 6 north, 7 east, Nemaha Township. Approved utility permit 1120 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Will be boring 1 1/4 inch, I assume, conduit 4 foot below the ditch under the township road for 66 feet to provide new 12-pair terminal to a new house located in the southeast quarter, section 10, northeast quarter, section 15, 6 north, 8 east, Adams Township. Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Hill. Vote. 6 in favor with Bauman voting against. Change to 7 in favor.
Roger? Don did that.
Counselor, could you give him a little help, please? That'd be really great.
Move on to the regular agenda. Comments from the public? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
We have nothing today. Davey is working on stuff up in the county court, and so nothing really. He has nothing unusual.
Equalization?
Nothing. We're equal.
Finance and insurance?
Okay. The large ticket items. There weren't a lot of them. I'll get you one that's close, though. Region 5 services, quarterly funding, $9,928.50. funds coming out of Road and Bridge Sinking Fund, one to Johnson County on the final payment for that bridge match program, number, $22,994.98. The other one was final payment on the other bridge match, Nemaha County, $27,704.35 for a total of $50,699.33. Engage Economic Development Funding, $42,545.09 for a grand total of $270,117.01, which is more reasonable than most.
Human resources.
We had a closed session on some significant personnel issues.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
We had discussion about the transport van on Monday. I did talk briefly with Gus. He's not able to be here again today. He will look into a new transport van with the cell. I think we need to have that. We need to have those numbers before we have any more discussion as to which way we want to go with the transport vehicle. There's not anything else that Gus had as far as law enforcement. Lisa, did you have anything that you wanted to add for emergency management additional from Monday?
No.
Okay. It's cold out.
It is.
It's going to get warmer, though.
Okay. There's lots of adjectives to put before cold also. I think that pretty well is it.
Road and bridge.
This is repetition, but we're going to approve specs and call for bids on rock and gravel on 9/27/19. Approve specs and call for bids on county fuel 9/27/19.
9/27.
Did you say 9/27?
2/27.
Okay.
29, mine says, but 2/27/19. I'm sorry.
9/27 was the time.
And somehow on our consent agenda, the rock and gravel bids say March 13th. No, excuse me, February 27th. We'll no approve them. That's the day from.
Galen has been reviewing the 1 to 6 year plan. I know has been up to Mark Minnelli's office and went through things with him quite a few times. We will have a public hearing on the 1 and 6 year plan on 2/27/19. Bridge match round 3. Two programs that we have been accepted in, a 90-foot slab bridge by Holmesville, south of Holmesville. Estimates are as a total of $399,483 with a state match of $150,000. The county share will be $249,48. On the box culvert west of Hidden Acres, there will be two 12x12x40 boxes, culverts put in. I read that wrong. It's a twin 12x12x40. Estimates are a total of $174,324. The state's obligation will be $95,878, and the county share $78,446. Total county responsibilities on these two projects will be $327,929. Last but not least, these are one of the two bridges, the one south of Holmesville that we had to do repair work this past year. And Gating is getting things started to try to get the Claytonia Bridge in the same sequence because that'd be the next major, major thing that we have to get replaced. And it's we'll get started now and maybe we'll get something done in 5 years. That's kind of how it goes. So.
Still pretty good news on those other two projects.
Very good news. Like I said before, and I said it to everybody, I think there was a total of $4 million the state set aside for these matches across the state of Nebraska. And we've been lucky enough to get something in Gage County every time there was these came up. So we're very lucky. And I don't know you know, the key to it was at the time, the bundling, the try to cost save here and there. I don't know if, why we get, you know, the matches we're getting, but we're very lucky to get them. That's it.
All right. We have the presentation of Nebraska Extension update by Nicole Stoner. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you. I brought a little handout for you guys so you can all see it. I hate it when someone talks and you don't know what, you can't look at it, right? So I talked with Myron just before he stepped down, and he thought it'd be a good idea if I came in once in a while and just kind of updated you on what's going on in the extension office so that you know what we're doing and I'm not only seeing you to ask for money. So I just highlighted on the front side here some of the things we're doing, some of the upcoming programs. The Master Gardener training starts next week, and I've had about 57 Master Gardeners through last year I had. That's through five different county programs. The majority of them are here in Gage County. I think I have 32-ish in Gage County. But I do programs in some of those other counties that I'm responsible for. And so they did 1,767 volunteer hours, and that's a public value worth of $41,347. So, and the pesticide training is going to start here in February, so that's coming right up. We'll do commercial training in Gage County, and then we do private. I help Randy Pryor with the private training in Wilbur, Beatrice, and Fairbury. So so then for 4-H, with J.C. Milius and Jane Esau, they've been busy, both of them, doing a screen printing workshop for 25 youth. The BLAST after-school program, 88 Beatrice Public School elementary students who participate in that. They've been doing marbling, which is a pretty fun activity that JC does with, you know, I can't even explain how it's done. It's pretty pretty high tech, but they marble fabric and then they're going to sew those into like some bags and things. And they're working with doing some stuff to do some 3D printing with the school's 3D printer. They're making some bubble wands, so that's pretty exciting. And the first Lego League just competed last weekend. 9 Gage County youth competed in that first Lego League qualifier event in Nebraska City, and they qualified for the state competition. So that's pretty fun. That's one of our 4-H clubs that meets, and they work with Legos and robotics, and then they compete. And so then this was their qualifier, so that was exciting.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun and really growing. The Lego stuff is and robotics is really growing.
Oh yeah,
it's beyond what I can comprehend even. So yeah, so they work pretty pretty hard to get there, so that's pretty exciting.
That's neat.
And then in November we had four Gage County youth that went to the National 4-H Congress, and there's 23 Nebraska winners total, and so four of them were from Gage County, which is it's the highest honor that you can get in 4-H, so it's very exciting. And so they went on that trip in November. You may have heard, I think, in December, I think, Jane and one or two of them were on the radio talking about it, so on Quibi, so... and then Jane's also doing an Ag is Everywhere. It's a Beatrice Middle School after-school class. So 15 students there. So they're just talking about just all kinds of different aspects of Ag and how that relates to their life. So that's pretty cool. And
I think
about
the careers. Press, the Daily Suns had great photos and what have you, the quote presentations, the Valor mm-hmm. program.
Yeah, they've
People,
done a lot of
I really get some positive comments on that program. I think it's just pretty great.
Yeah, I skipped right over that one. Thanks for catching that one. Yeah, the Quilts of Valor is another one, and those are so fun to see when they come back in. I always love seeing them, and I'm not a quilter by any means, but it's cool to see what those kids can really do, and they've done, they've made, at least two or three different quilts through the middle school after school classes. And these are kids that had not sewn at all before, and they were helping make this quilt. So those are pretty cool,
well,
too.
We have a great program here honoring our veterans, and this is something that just puts an emphasis on that. I think it's just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, it's a really great program.
Those veterans are just thrilled like crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They honored six with a quilt, and three veterans, three more will receive one on February 11th. Two were honored at the Achievement Program. So Norris does one every year. They give one away. I think Plymouth, they're over there, their Legion has given a few away. So quite a few given out. So it's pretty cool. And then we are finally going to be replacing our food, nutrition, and health educator. She starts Friday. Tara Dunker will be starting as replacing Kayla, who left, it was last February or March, went up to Lancaster County. So we're excited to finally have someone in that spot. So Tara will be filling that, and she's ready to go. So she's going to do a great job teaching everybody about food, nutrition, and health. So it'll be great.
She a relative of our former newspaper person, Chris Dunker?
She is married to Chris.
I'm sorry about that. We'll try to give her some help.
Yes, that is her husband. She is originally from Beatrice.
Okay.
So coming back home, so that'll be exciting.
That's great.
She'll know the area pretty well. So, yeah, it'll be good having her here.
We need to give her a quilt of valor.
Yeah, for putting up with Chris?
Yes, that's exactly right.
I'll tell her you said that.
Okay, do.
No opinion articles out of your office, though, please.
No. Nope, I know. I was like, oh, man, I got to be careful now. She told me that she's not his source. She's told him she's not his source. Because he does write on the university a lot, so.
Yeah.
No, it'll be good having her in the office. She'll be really good, and she's very ambitious, and I think she'll do a good job. On the back here, I just have kind of just so you know who we are and who's all out there and what we're all doing. So, obviously, there's me and JC, and then Tara will be there for the educators. And JC's the 4-H educator. I'm the horticulture one. And then Lindsay's our office manager, and Jane, of course, is our 4-H assistant. Below that, I have the regional experts for Gage County. So I don't know if you guys have fully been briefed on that, but that's why I said I have multiple counties that I cover. So we are regional experts. So there's seven areas that we want to cover in extension, and they can't put seven extension educators in every county, right? So I cover 11 counties for horticulture. And like Jessica Jones covers Gage County for community vitality. Randy Pryor covers us for ag. He does Gage, Saline, and Jefferson, so he's our agriculture educator. Kristen Ulmer does the beef programming, and then Leanne Manning is the learning child. So with those four and then the three educators that we have in the office, that covers all the seven areas of extension that are big pillars, basically. So that way you kind of can put a name and a face with who's doing what around here. And I know Jessica is working with, there's a program coming up, I think it's in February, on some community vitality stuff. And so she's been working with that, and it's here in Beatrice. And Randy does a lot of ag programs over here. And we've had quite a few beef programs from Kristen come through as well. So just kind of wanted you guys to be aware of how that all works. It's a little confusing at times, I know, but that's how we cover the area so that we can, because they've determined, you know, Randy Pryor can find the answer to a tree question, but I know it a lot quicker. So it's easier for us to do it that way, to just forward them on to that so that it's a less time us spending on something we don't really know. Because I could find an ag question answer, but it's not going to be right away.
How would kids in town that want to get involved with the 4-H program, whether it's Legos or quilting or any of that, how do they get involved in something like that, get information on it?
So, I mean, a lot of them are going to see us through the school programs because of the BLAST and the after-school programs that Jane's doing. So between middle school and elementary, they're catching us. Hopefully, a lot of them are catching us there. Otherwise, you know, they can always come out to the office and or call us or whatever. But they sign up online, and then they're 4-H member. Is that answering your questions?
I think so. Just if kids want to get involved, how would they find you? But on the internet or come out to the office?
Yep, we have a great website. Lindsay keeps up for us, so it's got all the information there, and we just do online entry now, so they all enter there. And 4-H age is 8 as of December 31st of the previous year, so it would have been December 31st of 2018. That's our 4-H age. If they're 5 to 7, then they can be a Clover kid, and so both of those they would sign up online.
And I think we're real lucky when Nicole does her programs on KWBE, she gives a phone number for people to access, and that's really good to make sure these kids are aware of how they get in the program because there are so many wonderful programs that you do. And
thank you.
That's really great.
We try.
Yes, you do.
Keeps us busy out there, right?
Well, there are a few, just so different than your former leader who didn't do anything. You know, I didn't say that, did I? Did I, Doug? No. I'm kidding. I'm being facetious.
It's all right. So we just try to keep busy. And so that's what, but I'm just wanted to come out here and kind of keep that communication line open so you guys know what's going on. And if there's any program area, anything you would like to see, definitely shoot them my way. I'm always looking for more ideas. So,
Tiemann's wanting you to expand the age limit for the Legos.
Oh. I don't know if it'll cover quite to your age. But I agree.
What are you implying?
What's that?
What are you implying?
You're a little older than the 18 or 19, which is like the last age that they are in 4-H.
I hadn't even heard of that, so that's great.
Yeah, it's a really great way for those kids, you know, kids that really like to do, like, the Legos and the robotics. Helps build on those skills.
Really into Legos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, too, when I was a kid. So
you're still a kid.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So you can get involved. It's okay.
I guess we could have a motion to receive this and put it on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Lytle. Vote. 7 in favor. Thank you, Nicole.
Yeah. And I can come like monthly, or do you want me to do that?
I guess if you have anything that's...
Just to kind of keep you updated.
Anything new or something like that, that'd be great.
Yeah, just kind of so you know what programs and things are going, or quarterly.
Quarterly. Good,
quarterly, yeah. Probably.
I can do that.
Yep, that would be great.
Sure, no problem.
And it's probably no problem as I go by. I think once in a while about stopping at the office just to see you guys, but I...
You're always welcome to stop
okay,
in.
Okay, good. Right.
Come in on February 15th. We're going to have cookies because it's the 150th anniversary of the University of Nebraska. So we're going to have cookies, and there's going to be some free university stuff that we have, some fun little giveaways. So we're going to have cookies.
Scurps your way into cookies.
I think they're, like, calorie-free, too, so it's okay.
Oh, okay. Not a cookie, then.
That's a joke.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll receive the road study report from the highway superintendent on the possible vacation of the right-of-way on part of the northwest quarter of Section 19, 4 North, 6 East, and I believe that's Midland Township.
Yes.
And on part of the northeast quarter of Section 24, 4 North, 5 East, also Midland, of the 6th PM. Galen, do you have anything you want to go over on that, or
just this? Part of the procedure was for this the county board back on January 2nd passed a resolution directing me to do a study of my findings on this road. And what I did find that the road portion had been closed since the May 2015 flooding on the Big Blue River, where it caused a portion of the road to wash out. The road portion does not connect to another segment. What else I wrote on here? The road has been used mainly for access to adjoining farm ground and Fritz Grove Land Group LLC property. Midland Township is responsible for this portion of road and supports the closure of the said road. Landowners have requested closure of said road, and the road portion lies within the 2 mile extraterritorial zoning jurisdiction of the city of Beatrice. And by resolution 6342, dated on January 7th, 2019, the mayor and city council of the city of Beatrice, Nebraska, they did approve of the proposed road vacation. So based upon the statements above, I recommend the county board proceed with the procedure for closing down this road.
Do we know anything else as far as any other action?
Still going back and forth. So that's why I'm just going to stay and see. But, well, yeah, they're still negotiating. So
I'd look for a motion.
Oh, we do not need a motion. We just need to receive it. And
oh, okay. So we just move on then? All right. Thank you, Galen. Next, we'd look to approve or disapprove interlocal agreement and resolution for cooperative development and use of the Nebraska Regional Interoperability Network.
Don, you want to explain what that is? Some
people. That's Vince's agreement.
I didn't know if you knew how to explain that.
Well, this is the NRUN. It's better known as NRUN, and what that is it's the agreement that all the towers across the state of Nebraska have a network, of which is the Nebraska Interlocal Interoperability Network. Long story short, here in Gage County, you have equipment on three towers. First of all, you have equipment that's been placed on the NRD tower, that's just directly east of Blue Springs. There's equipment on Pickerel, the Pickerel tower, and then also Hellam, which we utilize. So that was at no cost to the county, because when Homeland Security funds became available after 911, it became apparent that we needed interoperable communications throughout the state of Nebraska, and specifically in the western part of Nebraska where communications weren't easily accessible. And so there was these agreements that came out. I'm not sure if it was lost in the loophole somewhere along the line through the last couple years, but you had entered into an agreement with the Blue Springs Tower to put equipment on that particular tower. And then I'm guessing when the integrity of that tower was somewhat questioned, and then the opportunity to put equipment on the NRD tower was there, that was a better option at that time. So you, by entering into this agreement with NRUN, you have a voice there, of which you've always had. You have Carla that represents the NRUN, the association, and she is your voice there. So this is just confirming that this is the agreement that does that. So they are using NRUN down at the PSAPs at 911 Communications. I did chat with Roger a little bit about this particular agreement, and this just confirms that you have a voice as a network on what happens with that association and with that network. So, again, that was no cost to the county. I'm thinking it was probably put in, parts of it were put in up to 3 to 4 years ago. We apply for grants through FEMA to actually pay for the lease that of the equipment that goes there. So, it is being used. Questions on that?
The resolution that's part of that will be 19-03. I just have a couple questions here. So we haven't signed this agreement. We don't have a signed agreement.
So,
but they're continuing to. But we're involved in the program.
But you have been involved in the program all along.
And so why do we need to sign the agreement?
I'm assuming as they're going back and recapturing what's not been covered, the agreement with Gage County was somewhere lost in the.
I think it's similar, basically an interlocal agreement between the agencies that so it just slipped through some people's hands and didn't get re-signed. And that's so basically you've been operating without it.
You signed
an agreement with to put Enron equipment that you have on file in on the Blue Springs Tower, and you accepted that to allow them to put it. So you've had these conversations before with specifically being able to put on a tower equipment on a tower that you owned, but never this particular agreement came forward that we
that
found
we could
in.
Find, yeah.
So what's the benefit of us signing it?
To have a voice.
I've looked at the board of directors and I see that Carla's on there, but she's employed. Well, she's employed by the city of Beatrice, not us. We have an agreement with the city for communications. I'm splitting hairs here a little bit because I go through and I read the agreement. I'm trying to see. What's
would
the
number
benefit?
five the purposes of the agreement to govern, manage, and coordinate Enron to support the public safety committee? That's to me kind of what this agreement is. That Gage County supports it because you have equipment and you're.
What are the costs to the members who have signed this? Is there because under
at the current time there is not any cost that's impaired to Gage County. However, in time there may be some subscriptions that might have to be paid in terms of if a particular line is used, but at this particular time you're not paying anything.
Is it because we're not responsible because we haven't signed the agreement? And if we sign
no
it, I'm asking because if I read number 8 here, it says prior to the first day of the fiscal year the board, and this is since the board's been established, the board shall project expenses to effectively operate Enron, project revenue sources, and assess cost to members.
Mm-hmm.
So are we not being assessed costs because we're not part of the agreement? And if we sign the agreement, will we now have costs?
So no costs were FEMA's Homeland Security funds were put the mainstay of everything into place when the development of the Enron network was developed. Now there will be some costs if they utilize the network from point to point. If we radio from Beatrice, Nebraska up into the northern part of the county, there may be some costs. I think it's $150 a year is what there might be costs of. Those a lot of times can be recaptured back through a grant program through our southeast region because there's funding there set aside. So most generally, all the funds that are incurred is grant funded back to you through the regional.
And as we've operated now without signing this agreement, we're still reaping the benefits.
Again, I don't know if this particular agreement was always out there, Matt, and then it just they
so
finally.
I'm just asking. I'm just trying to find out the benefits of signing this. If we're involved in Enron, we sign things and stuff wants to go on our equipment or on the mm-hmm. towers, and we're good with that. What does the agreement? What's our benefit of the agreement? I don't think anyone's against it. I'm just saying we've been operating. We've shown we can operate without an agreement, and now someone wants us to come back and sign an agreement. So I guess I'm suspicious.
Okay.
Along with what Mr. Bauman said, what is the downside if we do not sign this?
I do not know that.
Carla did say that Monday we have representation because she's on the board of.
Right.
Is there how many people are on that board?
16, I believe.
It's a
fairly
small
I think.
Board for what they're doing.
There's two from each. I went through and read the agreement.
So your districts,
I mean, I think we've got representation, but not from our employees. So what if, and I'm just what ifing here. Let me awfulize a little bit. What if the communication center decides to do something, the board votes on it, not this board, the Enron board, then there's a cost that's assessed to this board because we have that interlocal agreement with the city for communications. Right now, if they go ahead and do that, I'm sure we'd say, yeah, go ahead, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But now we bound ourselves economically to have to pay, be part I guess we've been getting something for pretty cheap. Do we want to sign something that no longer is cheap anymore? I don't know. I'm just, as I go through and read this, I'm just
signing it. I agree. It's a good question. What are our obligations in this agreement? What could happen? The devil's in the details. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what could happen down the road? The city's, that we get into some issue that a lot of, could be a lot of money.
I don't want to be, when I go through and read this, I'm like, oh, okay, it was something we should have signed in the past that we didn't or got lost or they don't have a copy of it, I guess. I don't know. And so we're operating now, we've got an agreement with the city. We want to be part of communications. Do we just sign this and say, oh, okay, this is just part of doing it? But then I'm going back and saying, has there been some bureaucracy created here that doesn't need to be here because we're continuing to function now? I don't think anyone has a desire to not be involved in communications and be supportive. So, and maybe I'm just talking in circles because I haven't had enough coffee yet. I don't know.
No, it's good when you have had enough coffee.
Yep. So,
I don't know. I'm just splitting hairs here, I guess. I'm just reading
it. If you would like a better explanation, we can have, someone from Enron.
I didn't read through it to find what's the out clause on it, Matt? Is there one?
Well, that's the other thing, is that when you withdraw, the last sentence, all personal and real property acquired under the agreement and owned by the withdrawing public agency shall be transferred to Enron upon the effective date of withdrawal. So you give written notice that you want to withdraw, and then anything that you've gotten now becomes Enron's. But I don't know that, are they going to come on the towers and take it off?
We don't own any of that equipment to begin with. They purchased the equipment to put up there. What's being reimbursed is the lease with Pickerel and the lease payment with the NRD. So those are what's being reimbursed through FEMA funding. So,
and this would be this agreement would go through 2025. So right now they've put up a network that was all paid for. As long as we got on board, we didn't have to pay for it. I think the majority of the benefit to us is probably if a call center or something, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa, if a call center would go down right now, we can outsource that to another call center and they can pick up the slack for us.
That is correct.
And so in case there's a disaster somewhere or another, similar to what we would have in the basement here instead of at the PD. If something would happen in, without looking at the map, Fall City, we could help them or vice versa. But as far as signing this, I would assume it would obligate us to potential costs as we see at the Sheriff's Department as things wear out every so many hours.
I'd make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Terry. Any more Juergens? Any more discussion?
Matt, do you want to have more time to get answers to your questions? I mean, we've operated this long without it. It ain't going to hurt another two weeks.
I guess I'm being snarky, and I'm pointing out that if government agencies can get together and work and get along, and then we bind ourselves with agreements, do we really need to be binding the agreements with legal jargon? We've shown that we're supportive of it. We want to be a part of it. Here comes an agreement. What if we don't sign it? Are they going to?
As far as communications, we do have those relationships already with City of Beatrice. Yeah. Carla, I don't know, do we partially fund her, or was there an increase in our, I mean, she's not an employee, but she's wage shared or whatever. So, I mean, technically she is representing us as well already.
You guys pay a big chunk of change toward that overall program. If you decide you're not happy, somebody's going to sit down and talk to you. And that's the economics of your power.
And this is, if we wouldn't sign this, I wouldn't say that is showing we're not happy. Because the city already has this agreement signed, I assume.
I would assume. I'm sorry, I don't know that because Carla's not here. But
and this is what our 911 communications
Well, they still have the statewide system also in through there. This is the connectability that if a call comes in along interstate, you know, that's making sure that those radios are interoperable. So,
I think the theory of the system and the way it works is it's good. It's just, I just wanted you to stand there a little while as I asked
her the question.
And then she's looking at me like, you invited him, right?
I don't care.
Lisa, we have a light agenda today.
Do you?
Bauman thinks that we need to make sure we stay a little longer.
So Bauman needs to know he can enter his Lego blocks in open class at the fair at no age limit.
Be glad he hasn't had all the coffee he wants.
Yeah, so, but yeah, this is entirely up to you. And please know that if you'd like a board member, you know, to come in or from Enron, we certainly can do that before you miss your vote.
But would you like to wait and have someone?
No, I'm saying we can vote on it because if for some reason in 2 weeks, if we decide we don't want to, then we can get out of it. You just give a written notice and you're out.
And we don't own any equipment right now.
I just don't see how this is going to affect us positively or, I don't know, negatively, but we're already on board with what's going on. We've been welcoming, put stuff on the towers. I'm just saying, well, why do we need an agreement? We're agreeable.
This is Resolution 19-03. We have a motion and a second. Vote. 7 in favor. Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove the 2019 board committee appointments.
Move to approve.
Motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Hill. Vote. 7 in favor. Sorry, I guess I didn't ask for any discussion.
What did we just vote for?
That's how we get stuff by you, Matt.
Did I just vote present? What did I vote?
That was for the committee appointments.
Yeah, flip through all these papers Don prints out in time.
Sorry.
I think you have this tabbed by now?
Good.
What did we vote for?
I'll give you a second to look at what you just voted on.
Okay. You're good.
Thanks.
If you guys do have any thoughts on this after the fact, we can always visit about that, too. I called most of you on these anyway. I didn't call Eddie. Eddie just kind of got
railroaded.
Placed. Discuss and approve or disapprove the 2019 Board of Supervisors standing rules. No changes were made to those from last year.
Except for the committee updates.
Except for the updates, which would be, is it just an attachment thereof?
It's part of the standing rules.
Yeah, 2019 board committee appointments. Otherwise, the rest of the rules stayed the same. Is there any rules that anyone would like to change? And I guess since you voted on the committees and appointments, Matt, this would be a place where you could still change those.
I would move to approve the standing rules for Gates County Board of Supervisors.
Second.
We have a motion by Byers, a second from Lytle. Any other discussion or discussion on these?
About Rule 21 here. This has been here a while. Board members must have leave of the chair to be excused before a motion to adjourn has prevailed. We should call that the Terry Jurgens rule. Does he ask permission of the board chair when?
We'll see you guys.
He's kind of sneaky. Would you like to change that to the Terry Jurgens rule? Rule 21 does ask for a motion to adjourn, Gary.
If you make it.
If you've got enough people that stay in order to have a quorum to end the meeting. And then I guess Rule 22, violations of any of these rules may lead to public or private oral or written reprimand.
That always takes place.
There's always oral reprimand.
But you got to vote to reprimand somebody?
if you have an agreement.
How many board members are going to stay in the room if five people gang up to reprimand them? You think they're going to hang out and listen to it, or they're going to walk out?
They're going to let them leave.
I mean, practically speaking, who's going to guard the door?
Well, usually we have the sheriff.
I think it's happened in the not too distant past, if I remember correctly.
Did
you? Really?
I don't remember that. Not in 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We were on, Matt.
Well.
Pretty sure this person here.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Huh.
Sorry, just give me. Oh, thank you. Here, ready to vote.
Yep.
We could ask for public comment. Yeah.
There's no public here.
Oh, that's right. She's not public. I forgot she wasn't public.
Any other concerns, comments on the standing rules? Vote. 7 in favor. Next up would be approve or disapprove amending the employee handbook, page 26, for overtime. What this one is currently holiday pay, no benefit hours count towards your work hours. This would change as of February 1st. Paid holidays would count towards 8 hours as 8 hours of worked hours. Towards overtime. So each of the paid holidays, Don, I don't remember how many paid holidays there are. 12 paid holidays would count towards worked hours. This was somewhat of a compromise between all the benefit hours that county employees receive. These are out of their control whether they work them or not. They're just a paid holiday. They have off automatically. So it's kind of a compromise between counting and not counting some of the hours.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Hill. Any other discussion? Terry? Vote?
No.
Vote? Terry?
This is something that we've talked about at some length now. Yesterday afternoon, and I said I was going to, Eric and I went down to the county barn and showed them the piece of paper that we're voting on. I said, this is what we're going to vote on tomorrow. You know, it's from the feedback that we got Monday. This is probably going to pass. Want everybody to look at it. Any concerns? Not concerns? You know, in the past, when we talked about this, this was the number one concern, I guess, people that I had spoke to down there. So with that being said, we thought this would be a good received news. There was a lot of contention down there on other items, other things. I said, we're not going to talk about this today. We did, but we're not going to vote on this or talk about this tomorrow. You know, these other issues, and most of them I feel were petty. Anyway, that being said, this is what we're voting on, and this is a big step to relieving some, I think, the pressure off of Galen. To constantly have to be up here defending this or that or whatever. So, that's all I have to say.
There is opposition, Mr. Brownman.
Well, speaking of opposition, I'm not in favor of this. I think these are benefit hours, and this isn't work time. And I think we can clearly define what's benefit hours and what are worked hours. And I don't recall having an extensive discussion regarding holidays being paid as work time. I do hear conversations about the call-out pay, which I don't know that we've still addressed. So I think this is an opportunity to pacify some folks down there without actually dealing with the real issue, which is the call-out pay.
And this replaces the call-out pay.
So what happens if somebody gets called out on a Monday?
This doesn't replace the call-out pay. Or not necessarily, I wouldn't say.
It doesn't replace the on-call pay, but it replaces the call-out pay.
And that's something with this. The on-call pay would still be, as written, $50 for whoever's on-call. If someone gets called, isolated emergency-type issue, that's still in place. That's not necessarily popular down there at all. But this would pacify that some, I think, where if they're getting called out earlier, the big argument is, the biggest, I guess I've heard, is if you have a holiday, let's say Martin Luther King Day on a Monday, they get called in early Tuesday, work late, called in early Wednesday, work late. Those first 8 hours don't count towards their overtime hours. So it doesn't replace call-out pay, but those lengthened and shortened days, this is the in-between. Instead of counting all those as overtime hours outside of their 8-hour day, which is what was suggested and brought up, they like anything out of an 8-hour day paid at overtime. We don't work an 8-hour day. We work a 40-hour week. So this is kind of a compromise in between those two, or that's how it's presented.
Well, why weren't the 8 hours of the holiday on Monday, why aren't those calculated currently as part of a 40-hour work week?
Because they're benefit hours.
Because they're benefit hours, and they're not actual worked hours.
That's correct.
I understand what's taking place, but I think there's you've got benefit hours, and I've been one of the more active proponents of paying people for what they work and paying them appropriately and providing hours and I don't know if we call it premium pay for when they get called out on holidays, weekends, after hours, those types of things. I'm just saying that I think this is a benefit hour. I just don't think it's a worked hour for the compilation of overtime. That's just where I'm at. So,
Matt? There was a comment made, and I can't remember. A few years ago, you and I were down there, and one of the gentlemen said, well, Matt Bauman said that if any time, any day, you work over 8 hours, it's overtime.
That's not correct.
Okay. That's exactly what was said. Am I correct?
That is what was brought up.
I mean, and I didn't remember, and I couldn't answer that.
That was one thing that I was, I know John and I have talked about what's considered an 8 and 80. So if someone works over eight hours in a day, you designate anything over 8 hours. And some agencies do that. If you work over eight hours in a day, that whether it's Monday or Friday, that's overtime. And I'm not a proponent of that. I've always been a proponent of when you work more than 40 hours in a work week, you should get overtime. And if there should be a premium paid working in healthcare when you get called in, called back, after hours, off hours, holiday hours. I've always been a proponent of that. But not anything in excess of an 8-hour work day. That's been proposed, and I've been against it.
Okay. Well, I mean, we heard differently last night. So people that's remember, how things get.
People remember things differently. I mean, it's human nature to hear what you want to hear and not hear the stuff you don't. Mm-hmm. And maybe I should ask Galen too. Did we present this correctly yesterday, or was that your take on this that we were trying to find an in between? The guys wanted an 8-hour workday. I think. Sorry, Galen, if you'd come up.
You're talking about the paying having the holiday count towards the 40-hour work week.
Right.
Okay. Yes, that was represented correctly. Yeah. The other issue that. Beyond that, the on-call thing is tabled till later on.
But as far as...
No, it's not.
Well, the...
I'm not voting for this if on-call is going to be discussed again. Telling you that right now.
Well, I mean, it's good we have that all on the table then, too, because part of this was, and I hope we got it across, the 8-hour day we're not doing an 8-hour day. We're doing a 40-hour week. but these hours would count towards it so that when they don't have a controlled time off, like a holiday, that they come in early the next day, they still have that 8 hours, and that's clicking away towards that. I mean, did we get that across?
I believe so, yes. Yes. The big thing that I got out of it when you're talking about the on-call policy is the wording in there about emergency clause. That's was added into the new one that was adopted back in whatever, May, June, whatever it was. So that was the big
Which would be the last paragraph of?
Of the adopted on-call policy.
But this needs to replace that all of that except for the on-call pay.
So, Mr. Chairman, my question is that when we vote on this, which I'm assuming is going to pass, the next item we vote on the employee handbook, is the employee handbook consistent with this resolution being in there and their exclusion of the other? We just have to make that point if this passes, just to make sure that that's concurrent.
You're saying if this passes, you want to make sure that the call-out policy...
If the intent is for this to replace the call-out policy, then there's got to be a removal of any mention of that within the employee handbook that's coming up to be voted on here shortly. I'm just making that...
Well, and this is the motion right now.
We adopted that emergency thing in May.
The call-out policy in May...
I think it's at the bottom there.
May 23rd. You're saying if
when it passes, I'm pretty sure it is. I may have taken us down a rabbit hole, but I'm just saying that if when I just wanted to make a statement as to why I'm voting against that. But moving forward in the agenda, when this passes, we have to make sure that I'm just maybe I'm jumping there, ahead here.
There's no wording on the call out policy that would interfere with this. It would just change how the hours are calculated.
But there was a statement that this was supposed to replace that.
It does need to replace
no,
that.
No, it's replacing the page that says overtime, the previous overtime page of page 26.
26.
It's updating that page.
The call-out's page 28. What John is saying is if this passes, he doesn't want any changes to the call-out pay policy. The discussion on... The call-out pay policy stops, is that correct?
All there needs to be on the call-out is that we're paying $50 for somebody to be on call. The rest of it needs to end, I mean.
So what you're saying is you don't want to pay anybody extra time for coming in?
If they work their 40 hours, yes.
Well, that's not the intention of this necessarily. The on-call people would... Okay, I see what you're saying. When everyone comes in, that's not... Maybe it's the wording on this. Okay, what John's saying is when everybody comes in early or works late or comes in on a Saturday, that's not on-call. Is that correct, John?
Right.
Okay, so that's a different thing, but... The highway department's used on-call, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, because I want to say this as plainly as possible. We've used call-out as anytime we come in early, work late, come in on a Saturday, Sunday. That's been called on-call, or call-out,
yes.
Call-out. What John's saying is if this passes, the coming in early, working late, or coming in on a Saturday or Sunday will not be call-out anymore. Am I correct? And is that what you're also saying, Gary? If not so much the on-call people, but the calling call out for early, late, or working Saturday or Sunday?
If you truly want to have good organization is what's trying to be done here. What needs to be done is that first of all you need to explain why you have a person with a phone that is to be answered 24 hours a day. Okay, what are the reasons for that? What are the items that they're going to have to take care of? That's going to be your on-call person that's going to get paid the extra money. If that person has to call somebody else out to help him get something done, you know, when they're off hours, those people, or that's your call out. That is where you would be involved with call out pay. Okay? As far as anything else, normal job duties, snow removal, any of this other stuff are normal job duties. When it's time to go to work, you go to work. By having the holiday pay, which I'm going to tell you, I agree 100% with Matt on this. This is a benefit hour. It should not count as hours worked. I'm agreeing to this because I think it fixes the problem of everybody thinking that we need a call-out pay on top of our on-call pay.
Yep.
And that's the reason I'm agreeing to this. So having the holiday hours added into hours worked helps to take care of that issue where somebody might have snow removal hours that they're not getting paid time and a half for, where they think that we need a call-out policy because of that. To me, that's the clear lines of it.
And we didn't go as far as saying that, Terry. I don't know, for fear of lynching, if you want to go and talk to the guys again. And I mean, if you're wanting to present the stuff prior to us voting on it, I mean, that's a clear line. I would say that's as clear a line, what you two just said, as there could be, because there was additional questions on how to finagle that, I guess. Do you want to go and meet with them again prior to us passing this? Because this, I mean, there's going to be at least several votes that are conditional upon that being the way it is.
When we spoke to them yesterday, I handed this handout that everybody has here. And that was always the biggest contention. Worked holiday hours did not count overtime. Constantly, that's what I heard. And I think it should be, myself personally. Okay? It should count as a work day towards overtime. With that being said, I told everyone, you know, this is what we're going to vote on tomorrow. And that's the way it's put on the agenda. Approve or disapprove. I said I think it might pass, but I don't know that. It's exactly what we had stated, correct, Eric?
Yeah.
So I don't know where we go from here.
Well, I mean, if the intent with this vote is, I mean, we can include intent, you know, on this. If that's the intent, that this takes care of that, we're in early, out late. I mean, the way I'm understanding this, just so I don't misrepresent it, if the intent is that does it doesn't replace, but it should take that argument out early, late, Saturday, Sunday. It's not call out.
It has to replace that. You know, the only thing that needs to be left is the on-call pay.
We don't even have a page for the
call.
Well,
we've got
like
a supplement
that
in there.
Gary?
I think if you read the call-out pay policy, I don't know that there needs to be any modifications to that. What we have there already it involves the on-call person. It involves those hours. So, and it says isolated emergencies or whatever. Those, I don't think that changes. I mean, I don't think we need to change that. I think it's okay. I don't think that this...
Isn't there also something in there that says what we're going to pay them on holidays?
For the people...
That are working on a holiday?
On call. Not for people...
talking about working on a holiday.
It's time and a half on holiday. That's a separate page, holiday pay.
How about I just read it out loud?
Okay, go ahead.
Call-out pay policy. When events arise which require the services provided by Gage County Highway Department to require employees to come back into work, this will be designated as call-out. The employee will be designated by the highway superintendents as on-call to answer the phone in such cases. Okay? He will be compensated $50 a week for this service. When an event arises that needs immediate attention, the on-call employee or the superintendent will call another employee to assist the on-call employee. When these two employees clock in, clock out, they will fall under this call-out policy. As compensated for being called out, these two employees will be paid a minimum of 2 hours be paid at time and a half normal pay rate, be paid at 2.5 times normal pay rate on holidays. Call-out rate above will be in addition to any benefit hours, i.e. paid holidays, paid vacation. Call-out is for emergency situations only and is not to be confused with an extension of the day. Neither starting early nor working late, nor for working different days than normally scheduled for weather events such as clearing snow or other required activities of the job. It is not for normal activities, including but not limited to clearing snow, spreading salt, hauling materials, operating equipment, or any other activity, except in the case of an isolated emergency. Call-out hours will count as worked hours. Call-out hours are not overtime hours. They are for isolated incidents requiring immediate attention.
Are you talking about holiday on there or holiday on the right?
The holiday on there, that part of it needs to come out because it's addressed otherwise in the manual.
In the manual, the holiday pay is paid at, if you work on a holiday, you're paid at time and a half.
Plus your 8 hours.
On this, for those 2 hours, you're paid at 2.5 times on a holiday.
No.
Plus your 8 hours.
You're paid your 8 hours and time and a half.
Normal pay you are, but on the call out, on the on call people, they're paid. I read this again last night. Those two guys or those two people would be paid 2.5 times plus 8 hours. Just those two for this. And I didn't remember that, but I mean that's how this is written. The regular crew, if they're working on a holiday, not an on call crew, they'd be paid at time and a half.
Yeah, I hate to kick this down the road 2 weeks, but if we give them holiday pay and we don't fix the rest of it, we're giving them an extra benefit without correcting anything that's in there. And that wasn't the intent. The intent was to, you know, replace the rest of that.
Well, we have a motion and a second. You're the second. If you guys want to wait and talk about this.
I don't think I'm the second.
At committee.
Yeah, you're second.
I think you need to cross-reference your entire handbook, because any time you make a change, and that's why the legislature has to have our committee go through and make sure we haven't left something out there dangling, because, you know, sometimes people pick that up and go, wait a minute. And if you're inconsistent, it's against you as the people that promoted this. So
I don't see any inconsistencies here myself, unless... The only thing it doesn't say is it's not specific that, I guess this is already, the call-out policy is specific already.
The holiday, I think, is what he's saying and listed in the handbook. Because the handbook, Gary, you have that there.
It's time and a half for holiday pay in the handbook.
Yep.
This was for just the people on call, which would be two people.
And that isn't how it's going to get interpreted. It's been our whole issue all the time.
Well, the thing is, we're calling anyone that works outside of an 8-hour day or outside of Monday through Friday call out. If that's what you're talking about, this overtime policy, if that gets rid of all of that and there's no more early or late or Saturday, Sunday ever being on call or call out, and it's just the two people on call, maybe we need to make that more specific.
Well, we certainly need to do something, because if we push snow on President's Day in February, they'll all want 8 hours at 2.5 times plus their President's Day pay.
Which the way this is all written, it would be they would get that at 1.5 times plus 8 hours.
That's what it states in the holidays. Yes,
but if we call them call out because if we call it call out because they're working on a holiday, I mean, maybe that's what you're saying is you want this more specific where it says.
Well, we need to get rid of the rest of it at the same time, or to modify it so that there's no conflicts between the two.
What do you see conflicting?
Well, there, for one thing, there's no need for the rest of it.
This.
Correct. I mean, really, truly, there isn't.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with John. Really, there isn't any need for that extra wording in the on-call. I mean, really isn't. But it doesn't hurting us either, I don't think. Not in there.
I just wanted to bring it forward. I mean,
and this will be the.
I mean, I just thought if we're going to vote on one thing, we better make sure the other's consistent.
That's correct. This will be the conflict, Galen, and that'll be the finite answer then, is Saturday, Sunday, holiday, early, late, anything. It's all just flat hours. If it's on a holiday, it'll be time and a half. If it's a holiday, it would be time and a half. If it's under 40 hours, it would be straight pay. With this, it would be the holiday pay would count towards that 40 hours. But the only ones that would go by that call-out policy would just be your on-call person and whoever he calls in to help him.
The thing is, one thing you're missing on that partially, there's sometimes you're not just talking about you're calling one person. Depends on what happens. If you have a severe storm, you may end up calling in the whole bunch.
Sure.
I mean, it's just not one person.
And that's very possible.
Okay.
I mean,
and the other issue is, basically what I'm hearing is here, and the way in the handbook is your normal working hours are Monday through Friday, 3:30 to, or 8 to 3:30 or whatever it says in there. Basically, what I'm hearing is the highway department down there, it don't matter if it's Saturday, Sunday, the middle of the night, the middle of the morning, it's not an emergency, you don't get no overtime.
Well, anything middle of the night would be.
And who determines what is a isolated emergency? That's the big one, real big. And that's one reason that for the last, whatever, 4 years or whatever, we've kicked this thing around and around and around, because there's always one little word that can be interpreted different ways. And most of the time it doesn't go in the favor down there. That's why we're always up here.
Well, and our work week is Sunday through Saturday, right? Is that what the... Sunday through Saturday is the stated work week in the handbook.
So, Eric?
Yes.
As I said in the past, and this was the contentious one right here, that whole bottom paragraph should X'd out before our previous chairman had come up with something to replace that with. I don't remember what it was. It was better, worse, I don't know. But I was in favor of putting an X mark through this whole bottom.
I remember that.
Okay? Take it out. But now, what that does, I don't know.
We still don't.
But...
Myron did have something he wrote up, and I don't remember it. I don't have it.
And we can X that out, but we still have to decide. Galen needs to know what call-out is. If we are going to say it's not, if we're going to say it's not after early Saturday, Sunday holidays, none of that's call-out, he needs to know that. If that is going to count as call-out, not only he, but the clerk's office needs to know that, too, because... We can't be vague on this at all and then have...
Yeah.
We're going to wait 2 weeks on this, aren't we?
Well, no, I started this, Mr. Chairman, but those are just questions so that there's a congruency there. I mean, let's vote on this and then we can move on and do something else. But if we don't ever get off center, then we're never going to get off center. Somebody's got to take a step. We got to move. So let's vote on this. I don't think we're being haphazardly. They've given some communication to the highway department. They've got some feedback. But there's just some other procedural things we're going to have to work on to be consistent.
Is this conditional, though? Because if there's not there's no conditions added to this. If this is conditional and we vote for this and then those conditions aren't met, then that may change some votes, too.
The way it was stated with the people down there was, this is all we're voting on tomorrow. What I had highlighted, what Don had highlighted for me, that change, that holiday pay would count to overtime. That 8 hours would count to overtime. If it wasn't worked that day, it would still count. Say you had to go out on a Friday, Saturday, whatever. It would count to the 40 hours. That is what I stated is the only thing we're going to vote on tomorrow. Now, if we're not going to do that, what I told them, we're not voting on the damn thing because I'm not going to go tell them something and something else happens up here.
And that's all that's up for vote right now.
That's what I said that was going to be, and that's what I thought was on the agenda. So I stuck my neck out and said, this is going to happen. I never said it was going to pass.
But they understand. You're one person.
I never said it was going to pass,
no,
Roger.
They need to understand that, though.
They
even
do.
Though
we
you're trying to help
clear
with communication, it's still, as this board, as a body, that can, in, right now it's like, we can table this, take a look at it. I don't know if you got a consensus yet as I'm sitting here listening. And I think that if you don't have a definition of on-call, call-out, and like Gary's saying is, as I understand, when the snow comes, you come out as part of your job. Not as overtime, unless it's a holiday. Then the holiday pay will kick in. Now, that's what I'm hearing a little bit, but then I don't know if I'm hearing that from everybody.
That's the way it's written, or that's the way I understand it as being written.
But that's what it's about how everybody understands it. And you got seven people up here, and a new person is probably wondering what in the heck is going on.
Yeah.
And I'm deference to Terry, you know, basically saying we're going to – what you did was it's been brought up. You looked at it hard. And I again, just would suggest – and I know you beat this horse until you – I mean, so many times. But still, I don't think there's a consensus within the group so that Galen can take it down one way or another and say, guys, this is the way it is. Now, you can cuss the supervisors for it, but that's your right to do it at the voting booth. But I think you got to get it down to where it's become so complicated it looks like a lawyer did it. Every little thing comes up, you try and resolve it with words. And it, I think you made it so complicated, not intentionally. I mean, Dawn doesn't know how to interpret it. Her people are interpreting it. Galen has to interpret it. And I agree with your consensus. Galen should be the one to interpret it. And he signs off. And if you're not happy with how he's interpreted it, then you take him down and talk to him. In all fairness to you, I just think you still have a difference of opinion as to what these definitions are. Man, if you don't have the definitions down, you can't make a policy where everybody will understand.
The way this was presented down there, just like Terry said, the only thing voted on Wednesday will be what was discussed and highlighted what he gave. Yep. There was other discussion about the on-call policy that we also had handed out a copy. He says that it will not be addressed at this time. We'll take a look at that later. So they're the understanding, and they're fully aware that this about the holiday, and they're all for that. But the way it was left was we'll address the rest of that at a later time. So it wasn't going to go away. That would be looked at after this was voted on. Is there two separate issues, is basically the way it's presented. That's my understanding of yesterday.
I think that's pretty accurate, Galen.
Chairman, this highway resolution, or this resolution isn't the highway resolution. This is for all departments in the county.
Yep. Right? Correct.
And I guess, so when we do that, if the primary reason, I'm stepping into something, I've never had anybody call me because they were upset about us paying anybody pushing snow a premium. They were upset because they weren't out there. And so I think, rightly so, we go through and we split hairs over monies and things like that. But this now becomes a county-wide policy, which then is getting meshed in with a department-specific policy that actually might be a lower cost than what this then things end up being.
We started down this road, I don't even remember how many years ago, and it was a deal where on the board here we felt like we wanted to do something for the highway department employees to make sure they were being benefited by doing extra work, and we wanted to show appreciation. What it's turned into has been a real problem where we end up getting a lot of flack that comes back from down that way up this way, because you continually have people looking at it and saying, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? What, even when it's not happening, there is very, very small instance when somebody is not getting time and a half, when they are doing the extra, or not extra stuff, doing their job on the weekends or at nights or whatever. It's not like we've got a whole band of guys down there going out and pushing snow and not getting paid time and a half. And the one big complaint where there has been issue where somebody maybe didn't have their 40 hours of work time in was because of a holiday. And then that was creating a couple instances, probably every year, I'm guessing, where that happened. Okay? And if you turn and you make that holiday time as a worked time, then that covers that. And then at that point, there's no need for a call-out policy. And I know at some point, sometimes you just got to say no.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? Mr. Lytle?
One thing. Roger, do you feel that we have everything I's dotted, T's crossed? moving forward, if we vote on this today and we change the overtime hours, do you feel comfortable with the rest of the handbook and any crossovers that would be involved?
That's a loaded question. I mean,
and you haven't had a chance to look at it, so.
Well, I mean, but when you say the rest of the handbook in regard to this issue, because I mean, that handbook, I don't know how many times the officials meet, and you know, when anything changes on a federal or state level, Don brings it up through Pam or somebody like that here's a suggested change, and we go through it. And I mean, and that happens fairly regularly. And again, I think what's happened is we've got a handbook that's been piecemeal is not the right word, but have we coordinated everything? And every once in a while, we'll do the work and present it, and it's approved. Then we find out that there wasn't a cross reference that should have been either amended or taken out. So it is a work in progress. And I say I think the clearest message you can do, and it's like you said, if there is not going to be, if you make this change, there's not going to be call out pay, you know, then make that a part of the resolution or the motion. I'm just suggesting, then it becomes this board's decision. It's not debatable unless you take it up again. Because I think that's where, you know, from Galen, what he's saying, what everybody else around the table is saying, I think that's where the rub it always comes up. And to quote Matt, how much dollars have you guys put into it with your time and everything else and Galen's time and Don's time, da-da-da-da, versus how much you actually pay when this issue comes up on an annual basis?
At this point, we don't have call-out policy. I mean, there's not call-out pay in here, so we should be safe in voting on this then.
Okay. And again, you know, you've passed things piecemeal over the course of the last year or so. And that's where I don't know. I can't tell you because at any one point, I've got the handbook on my computer, but I don't know if it's the current one with all the updates. And that's nobody's fault. It happens.
You could amend your motion to include making this in lieu of paying outside hours at overtime rates.
I won't amend my motion. If you want that, then I will withdraw my motion because I agree with Terry with what has been said and what was discussed as to what would be voted on today. I will not do that, but I will withdraw my motion if that's what needs to happen.
To vote on this specifically, we don't need to. That's we're still at that same issue, and I'm sure we'll have this on. I would just say we'll have this on the agenda Monday for committee meetings again to talk about what is call out. Is it on call or is it call out, Mr. Bauman?
Mr. Chairman Terry, did you tell a gentleman down there we were going to vote on this today?
Yes, I did.
I would support Supervisor Juergens' word and his time and effort that he took down there that we vote on this today. He told those gentlemen, let the chips fall where they may. He gave them his word. We were going to vote on this. He's the chairman of Road and Bridge. I think we should vote on it. I'm going to vote against it, but he gave those guys his word. We should support him. That's my opinion.
That's why I'll leave my motion, but I won't amend it.
Is there any other discussion on this? This is going to be, we'll have the what is or what is not call out or what is or not on call Monday at committee meetings to visit about that, because that's the next step.
So everybody's clear on it. The handout that you were given here is what I took down to him. Don, put that in there, that the if you worked on a holiday, it all it's doing is before you had to work that holiday, it did not count. Say you had to work 4 hours on Thursday night or Thursday morning, whatever, extra hours, you got no overtime for that work because you had to work the holiday. All this is doing is counting that holiday work as a worked
8 hours.
As 8 hours, okay? Even if you worked it, you didn't, it's counted as a worked day. That's what this is doing to compete to overtime. It's got nothing to do with the call out, nothing to do with that other shit. It's just, it's all we're looking at. I said, that's all we're voting on tomorrow. That's it. Okay? Now, if you don't want to vote on, if you want to go against it, fine. But we're going to vote on it. I don't care. Either way, we're going to vote on it. So.
Any other discussion? Vote. 5 in favor, with Hill and Bauman voting no. Motion passes.
And you said this will be on the agenda for next week.
This will be on the agenda on committee meetings as far as what is and what is not call-out pay or on-call pay.
Vote on the handbook today.
We just did.
That was the amendment to the handbook.
Well, amending, I'm sorry.
Approve or disapprove submitting a letter in opposition to LB 373. Lisa, you could come up and talk about this. We visited about this last night, and Lisa and Don drafted a letter. Lisa did to send up to. I don't know who that's actually going through to.
It'll go to which committee. Senator Brewer. Senator Brewer introduced a bill, 373, that has to do with wind regulations. And what it does is three things of how we'll be impacted here at the county level. Number one, it's imposing a 3-mile setback from turbine to residence. Now keep in mind, Senator Brewer is from the western, represents the western part of Nebraska, Cherry County specifically. Cherry County has had a lot of issues out there with some wind, development, and so he has introduced this bill in the, I think it's the committee, is it Veteran Affairs, Military Veteran Affairs. So it actually goes to committee, the hearings tomorrow. Also, what has been drafted in this particular bill is not only the 3 miles, but then it doesn't give you an opportunity to have a variable in your turbine height. So with that being said, if you have, we go one and a half times the height for our setbacks. It doesn't specifically say that what it is, but it doesn't allow you to have a variable. And the third thing, the biggest change too, that is somewhat has some question, is it also, they've struck out the opportunity to take wind energy to a variance committee also. So when I brought this to your attention, the email came from NACO alerting all emergency or all variance and zoning commissions about the changes that were being proposed. NACO does not, will be representing tomorrow, and they do not support it, but they encouraged us to let you know. And then, as you can see, if you look at Gage County and you look at the 3-mile demographics that's being proposed, that pretty well places a moratorium on any development. Not saying those are for and against, but it's a moratorium against because our density and our land use is so different compared to what we have. And keep in mind, when we developed our wind regulations, our goal was to create a balance between those people that choose to participate and not participate. And so we have included, and what I've asked, if you do sign the letter and it's either presented tomorrow or either you've emailed it, that we also include a copy of our regulations. So,
well, what's our setback? Correct.
So you went with a third of a mile for non-participating, and then for those that choose to participate, there's no setbacks other than what industry standards are in this particular case. But, and then keep in mind, when you adopted the regulations just most recently, we've added that waiver opportunity for two landowners, even if they weren't participating or not. You've given that opportunity as a waiver, you know, for setbacks in the future.
And it was previously, what, a quarter mile?
Yes. So if, as you recall, you know, you had some concerns as a board that the commission suggested that, you know, we go with a quarter mile, keeping that consistent with livestock setbacks. Then you did increase that to a third of a mile. So, yep.
So. Mr. Bauman?
So, she looks at me anymore. She's like,
it's okay. It's okay.
I haven't read the bill. My question would be, this is a local issue. Why are they trying to make this statewide?
Right.
This should be a countywide issue. There's county planning and zoning. If Cherry County wants to put them every 3 miles, that's on them.
Right.
I don't know why they would try and impose something for the entire state if it's a local issue.
The last part of the letter, Matt, was our concerns. So what we drafted was Gage County feels strongly that such legislation imposes a moratorium for any future use based on the county's demographics and land use density, and also the reflection between zoning and quality of life should be written with guidelines specific to each county's need, not a standard that's good for all.
The irony, too, is did you say there's 9 counties that do not have zoning?
So there are 9 counties that do not have comprehensive plans, and yet left in our Nebraska, there's 4 counties that have not developed any county zoning to date.
Only four. And Cherry County being one of the only counties that 3 miles would not really affect at all.
And they do have zoning in place on their own. So
this says the wind energy projects. Does that include the small and non-commercial as well?
In this case, I see it as both.
Yeah,
so
you take away self-determination of somebody that owns their own property and their quarter, and they want to stick it there. It's a small single operation. I think of a hog operation just west of the homestead that has nothing.
They can't do that.
It's a Cherry County issue. It's not a statewide issue.
And along with this, you know, you said we had to include our zoning regulations, and ours specifically break out for small operations like that.
Making this a state regulation is ridiculous. That's all I have to say. But I'm in total support of this letter in opposition.
This had to go in today, though, so we should
be there by 5 o'clock.
It has to be in by 5 o'clock if you're not going to appear.
If we're not going to appear, and the question is if anybody is coming from this board to appear. I do have a couple commission members, I do believe, that plan to attend, but are somewhat concerned. I'm not sure that they're going to be speaking on behalf, just their learning.
I would move to approve submitting a letter in opposition to LB 373.
Second.
And I would say the 3 miles is certainly excessive. You know, I'm not sure, looking back, when we approved ours, maybe our setback should have been a little bit more.
Were you going to ask Mr. Bauman to lobby on behalf?
Will he be in Lincoln tomorrow to present? Yes, sir?
Well, the other thing you might want to, and this is up to the board, but I think Mr. Byers would probably agree, when you have live people come and testify at a committee, nothing against sending a letter. That's, you know, your P&Z person, your director here. If you authorized her to present basically the letter and her testimony, again, that's up to you. I'm just saying, I think that's much more effective.
You looked at this, Roger?
No. I just thought.
I can read the letter aloud if you'd like. It's up to you.
Gary?
I'm not a big fan of the letter. I'm not voting for the letter. But I do think that this is excessive. I don't think it's right.
I think it goes down in flames. I think you call Myron Dorn, our representative of this area, and anybody else that you know or have numbers for, and you tell them exactly that. But I do not like the idea of the board putting this letter forward. I do think...
Why?
I'm just not comfortable. We've heard enough conversation in the last year from opponents of wind energy being outside their back door, that as far as health issues and that, that I do not know that they're proven that they're not issues. I don't want to be on record with this letter.
I told Lisa, I'm a chamber member, and we have government affairs meetings every Friday morning, and Senator Dorn usually calls in, and Senator Brandt's supposed to. He hasn't yet, but we are going to visit about this Friday morning as well. And I could either give an opinion of the board to them, or I can give my own opinion too. I guess the reason I was against this personally was just the idea of state control versus us locally controlling it. I mean, that was my major thought right away. Not even if we allow wind or not. I think that's kind of subjective. You're in favor of it if you're making money or not. If you're not, I just didn't like the state control.
I agree. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I just don't know that I'm comfortable with, I don't know.
It's understandable.
But the problem is, when you're sitting in a committee in the legislature and you don't hear opposition, then you start to feel that people are in support of the bill that we've introduced. They want to hear, the committee wants to hear it if we've got problems and if we don't think it's a good idea. And if we just ignore it, then we just give up. And I think this letter is very appropriate in saying, no, in our situation, we don't approve this. We aren't supportive of this. This can be damaging to us in Gage County. So, anyway, we can sit still and not do a doggone thing, or we can do something. We're elected to do something on this board.
That bill's a slippery slope. If they can approve that regulation, can they come in and designate lot size and setbacks, and it just it's good to keep that local control here. But it is, we visited with the commissioner from out there in Cherry County, and I think in their case they have some legitimacy to their, you know, depending on what side of the fence you're on, to their claim. But I think it's interesting that population density of people, and they want to push those out. If not there, then where? I don't know.
It surprised me coming from there.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway.
Any additional discussion? Motion and a second vote. 6 in favor with Lytle voting no.
Now, may I ask, is the letter to be presented as a letter or in person? I'm not sure that just to make sure.
I just threw that out because, I have no idea if this was going to attract a lot of people.
It is. I know that there is a sign-in petition right now. It was circulated last night that they're trying to get as many people there as they possibly can.
So, from NACO or?
Not NACO. It was people for the power or clean energy. That was what it was for.
There'll be a lot of people there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Gary?
Do you want to discuss giving her the authority to go to that hearing?
Were you planning on going to that anyway, Lisa?
I would prefer to have direction. I was waiting. I do believe it's important to view in person, but I was waiting because I'm here on behalf of the county, and I'm certainly not going to give my opinion unless it's not wanted there as a county employee.
My opinion would be it'd be good for her to bring it up there. And even as they're talking, you know, you're going to be involved there with other planning and zoning operators, you know, other P&Z boards as well as directors. So, I mean, I think it'd be good for her to be there anyway.
I agree.
Is there any opposition to her going up?
Sounds like a good direction.
You are this one. Okay.
That's one of the only jobs.
Okay. Looks like that's the end of the agenda. I'd look for a motion to adjourn.
I leave that alone.
I'm getting bored.
We have a motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
I don't want to adjourn. I want to keep going.
Motion and a second. Vote. 7 in favor. At 10:24 on the clock.
Walker must be some...